If there was ever a time where God was giving us a warning sign, a warning message, it would be right now. It would be the loudest that it has ever been. The eclipse occurs on April 8, 2024, or 4-8-24, which is also 4-4-4-24, or 6 times 4, which is a total of the number 4 being repeated 9 times. Now, the number 9 is the number which is biblically symbolic to represent finality, to represent judgment, to represent atonement, because it was at the 9th hour of the day where Jesus was crucified and he died. And lo and behold, the 2017 eclipse intersects the path with 2024 eclipse, and it gives us the sign of the cross, or the top, the mark, and right smack across the United States. Now, Tav in the Hebrew is the word for mark, and it means to sign, to signal, and it also means an omen. The numerical value of the letter Tav is also, again, 400, the pattern of the number 4. Now, this intersection, along with the October 14th eclipse, literally spells out the Hebrew word that literally represents sign. The word right from Genesis 1:14, the word used for there for sign, comes from the root word uth, which is strong concordance H225, which means to consent or agree. This word is where we get the act of covenant making in the Bible between two parties. Uth comprises of 3 Hebrew letters, the Aleph, Vav, and Tav. Aleph symbolizes power and strength like an ox head. Vav signifies a tent peg denoting hooking or securing. And Tav represents cross sticks to mark or to signal. X marks the spot. And so when you put these letters together, they evoke a very powerful image of a plowman, which is guiding an ox harnessed to a plow, who is aiming for a distant landmark on the horizon to maintain a straight furlough. Consent originates from covenant making, where parties agree on a destination, akin to an ox reaching a landmark when plowing. And a sign originates from covenant making, serving as a reminder for both parties. So when you put this word in its original Hebrew context in the verse of Genesis 1:14, 15, we understand that a sign occurring in an eclipse, rather than being the sun or the moon or an alignment dealing with the planets or the constellations, is a reminder to both God and to mankind of his covenant made with Abraham, passed on to the Jewish people, and later fulfilled and passed on to Christians who are engrafted or inherited into this covenant through Jesus, who is a literal representation of the Tav, the marking, or in other words, the ultimate sign of God's covenant. So when we see or read about God's covenant, we deal with God's word and his promises. And even more specifically, the signs that are a reminder concerning not just the Jewish people, but the covenant God made concerning the land of Israel. The land is another sign of God's covenant. So anything having to do with that land is ultimately dealing with the very hand of God. The blood, the covenant made and affirmed through Jesus. Now, in addition to the number 4 being repeated 9 times, the number for finality, judgment, and atonement for sin, this coming from the literal crucifixion of Jesus and having the cross painted over the United States, we are ultimately or also currently in the Hebrew Jewish year for 5784, again dealing with the number 4. And guess how long the eclipse will last over the United States? Approximately 4 minutes. And guess when the next solar eclipse will occur over the United States? Not until 2044. Again, we see a pattern emerging from this number 4. Now, just yesterday, a 4.8 magnitude earthquake struck just outside of New York City, impacting New York City as well as New Jersey and Manhattan. 4.8 happens to also be the exact date of when the eclipse is going to occur. 4-8-24. So what does the number four mean? And why is it so repetitive in this prophetic pattern? Now, the number four in the Bible symbolizes three very important things that originate from the creation period. And it's a very symbolic prophetic warning, a prophetic message concerning the end times. Now, many people do not even realize that Genesis 1:14 is a prophetic message about the end times, not only about the rapture of the church, but also the second coming of Jesus. So let me explain. The number four first symbolizes time. The sun and the moon were not yet created until the fourth day. Now, although time technically was first created on day one when God said, "Let there be light," the materialistic time that comes from the sun and the moon was not created until the fourth day. There is God's time, which is a divine clock, and then there is a materialistic time that was created, which is purpose for man's time, the appointed time for men on earth. So without a sun or a moon, we do not have a way to calculate time, and we do not have a way to calculate the years or the seasons. The calendar, the years and the seasons are used in our purpose to mark sacred times and seasons to appoint and line up with God's divine time. Now, the word for seasons in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word moedim, H4150. Now, that word does not mean spring, summer, fall, or winter. It literally means God's appointed feast. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So the reason for this, for the sun and the moon, was to give us the appointed times, to know when we would meet with God, a divine appointment on God's divine appointed times. This is why Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:1-2, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." These seasons are ultimately connected to the first and second coming of the Messiah, whom is Jesus. They are ultimately connected to biblical prophecy. So the number four represents the appointed divine times, the appointed seasons. Now, the second meaning of the number four represents a transition period. We are currently in the Hebrew year for 5784. The number four in the Hebrew is the letter or the word dalet, which means door. As Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and he will sup with me and he with me." The Tav in the Hebrew, the letter word for Tav in the Hebrew, is also where we get the context of the Passover story in the Exodus, the marking of the doorpost, the marking of the door. So Tav and Daled go hand in hand together to sign and to mark, which represents the covenant. The very day after the eclipse, April 9, 2024, Nisan 1 occurs, which is the first day of the first month of the Hebrew year. The Jewish Hebrew calendar starts over and it begins. This is not only symbolizing the end, but is also the beginning, as the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end, as in the Aleph and Tav, which are signed across the United States. Along with the October eclipse, we have the literal spelling for the word sign or marking across the nation. Then from Nisan 1, or April 9, 2024, until the very day before Pentecost Sunday, which is May 19, 2024, we have 40 days. Again, the number four being symbolized the number 40, which represents a testing period, a period of testing and tribulation. So first we have the number four representing an appointed time, God's divine appointment marking the prophetic time in history and the seasons, God's festivals. Secondly, we have the number four representing a transition, a marking from the beginning to the end. Now, third, which is the absolute most important meaning of this number, is that the number four symbolizes separation and division. Genesis 1:17-18, God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. Matthew 13, 24 through 30, Jesus gives us the parable of the wheat and the tares, which is a prophetic message concerning the end times, what occurs at the tribulation period. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everybody was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the weeds and went away. When the weeds sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "The enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them out?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheats with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At the time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in the bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." So wheat does not sprout overnight. This is very important to pay attention to this context in this passage, because pastors and theologists, evangelists do not preach this. A very crucial key clue that many people do not even realize. Wheat does not sprout overnight. It takes approximately 10 days for seeds, for wheat seeds to begin to sprout. So this is why in verse 26, when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the wheat also appeared. So Jesus is not talking about something literally occurring overnight. Although the enemy came in and planted overnight, Jesus is literally talking about a time period, specifically a time period appointed to the harvest when the signs are visible. So Luke chapter 21, 29 through 36 is the parable of the fig tree. It differs than Matthew 24 because in this context, pay very close attention to what Jesus says in verse 29 and 30. He says, "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout, leaves you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near." He says, "Look at the fig tree and all the trees." Jesus spoke of not just the fig tree of Israel, alluding to the reformation of the nation of Israel in 1948. Jesus is also referring to all nations, all of them, and even more specifically, the signs and the fruit in which all these nations are producing. Jesus told us that his coming will be like the times of Lot, the times of Sodom and Gomorrah, like the times of Noah. So in other words, Jesus is saying, when you see the signs of not just God's kingdom, look at the promises of God through Israel, but also when you see the signs of Sodom and Gomorrah, when you see the signs that are leading to the destruction of the earth during the times of Noah, when you see the signs of not just the wheat appearing, but also the tares, the signs of the enemy, the signs of sin, you know that the Lord's coming is right around the corner. So in other words, when you put it all together, the eclipse occurring in 4/8/24, April 8, 2024, in the Hebrew year 4/5/7/8/4, the sign of the Aleph and Tav, the marking of the appointed times and season that prophesies of the Messiah, tells us that the appointed time of judgment is coming. When the separation occurs, the wheat and the tares are separated and harvested. The tares are an imitator, designed specifically by the enemy to imitate and look like wheat, but they are in fact pointless. They are useless for eating and also are poisonous and deadly. Jesus is talking about the church, the bride of Christ, the difference between the authentic and the imitators. And so how do you discern the difference between the true and the fake? Only God knows. They are distinguished only by the word of God, and they are proved through testing. Through testing, which comes through from persecution, it comes through fire, it comes through the threshing floor, and it comes through pressure. All these fake churches, fake Christians, the ones who have progressed in the ways of the LGBTQ, the abortion movements, the liberal and the progressive movements that have perverted the word of God, that have perverted the church, are all about to be separated and judged. So we ought to be encouraged by the very real hope and the saving knowledge that the gospel of Christ, the very real sign that we ought to be filled with hope to live according to the gospel of Christ. Live it authentically and intentionally, fully obedient, subservient to it, that we are proved worthy of the way and the very life that Jesus has given to us. Luke 21:36 tells us to be always on watch and pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that should come to pass and stand before the Son of God. be accounted worthy to escape all these things. Ephesians 4:1 tells us, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received or have been called by God. Revelation 3:4, God says to the church of Sardis, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out that name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Pay very, very close attention to this. I've never heard any other pastor preach this, never heard a prophetic evangelist reveal this. Listen to this. Jesus warns the church to wake up. He says it right there. That exact word for wake is strong concordance word 1453, 1453. The Greek word agiro, which is where the very word resurrect comes from. It means to be raised up. We just celebrated Easter, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, the promise of eternal life for those who are in Christ. Jesus is calling his bride. Is calling to the church, telling us to rise, to wake up, to be diligent, to repent, and to become ready. This is the message about not only the second coming of Jesus, not about just the promise of the resurrection. Remember, the dead and the living are resurrected, and not just resurrected to eternal life, but also resurrected to eternal condemnation. The wheat and the tares are about to be distinguished, and we need to be asking ourselves the very question, which one are we? Will we answer the call and heed the warning to repent, or will we remain asleep and dead? Romans 1:26-28, Paul warns about the end times. Again, alluding to Sodom and Gomorrah, the times of Noah, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts and sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Because of this, God gave them over to shame and lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the dual penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile, again, worthy to retain the knowledge of God, as God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they ought not to be done. That word in that verse, in that context for depraved, it means useless, a useless, depraved mind. Like the wheats, or like the tares, the parable on the wheat and the tares, which are completely useless. Look around you guys. Look around. Look everywhere. The signs are all visible. The time is now. The calling is now. The time is absolutely now. The seeing of this progressive movement, the LGBTQ, the transgenderism, the complete horrific things that we are being done to our children, all these are being allowed to happen because it says right there in the scripture that God gives them over to a depraved mind. These are purpose as a sign of his coming, the sign of the coming judgment, the hour that is coming. So this call, the eclipse, absolutely is telling us to wake up, get ready. It appoints to the time of Jesus' second coming, the coming of the resurrection, and the coming of the rapture of the church.